You're ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, I'm really betwixt two. One, not exactly to depart to be with the Lord, but to go into two directions here. But I want to carry on with the purpose of the anointing. We talked about the purpose of God's power in our lives. You know, on Wednesday we started a series on the healing anointing. And we talked a little bit about the different ways you can get healed. There's not just one way to be healed, but there are several ways God makes it available for you to be healed. So he wants to make it easy for all of us. Talked about two ways Jesus ministered healing. One was by faith or teaching and receiving by faith. And the other one was by the anointing and the gifts or the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And we saw several times before that in the four Gospels, there was 19 cases that are, recorded for us, for our study, you know, and out of those 19 cases, we saw 11 out of 19 where faith is, the actual word faith is mentioned or believing is mentioned. And the other several are mentioned that it's inferred that faith is released or used. There's only one in there that actually talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to see that if anyone is going to get healed in this room, it's going to be by believing God. And medical science is all for it. We all believing for getting well. No one wants to be sick. We also mentioned that, if I didn't mention it, I want to mention it now, there's two things about healing, and that is there is something called divine health. God says, if you follow me, you'll never get sick. Divine health. And there's something called divine healing, where if you did get sick, God promises that healing would become ours. And so all the basis of healing is found in Isaiah 53. The whole basis of salvation and the package of salvation is found in Isaiah 53. The same words that he uses for, getting saved, that Jesus taking our sins to the cross, bearing our sins, carrying our sins, that same word carried and bared is the same words used when it came to healing in that same chapter, that Jesus, God, carried our pains and carried our, took our sicknesses. Those are the same two words, carried and bear, are the identical Hebrew words used for healing. We talked about the difference between healing and healing, healing and miracle of healing. Anybody knows that your body repairs itself, and medicine helps you repair your body. Your body does a great job of just healing itself, rejuvenating itself. And so the Bible says that healing, just regular healing, which is actually one of the gifts of the Spirit, or one of the ways that God manifests himself. We can exercise the gift. If it's a gift, then we can exercise that gift and start believing God for our well-being. Amen? So then we said that there's ways you can receive that. You can demand yourself to be well according to the Word of God. Just demand from the covenant. You can demand from the covenant to be well. You're not demanding anything from God. God already made it possible for you. He's already provided in the New Testament. We just go ahead and receive it. You don't have to receive healing. You don't have to receive prayer for healing. And most of the church, I would say 90% of the church today, that's what they want, is to receive healing through prayer. And that's the highest kind of faith, is just believing the covenant and saying, according to the word, I'm well. And we see that in the scripture where Jesus told, I believe it was the centurion. He said, only say the word only, and my servant will be healed. And he said, I've never seen any great faith like this, not even in Israel. And Israel had the covenant. Israel had the Old Testament. Israel had the prophets. And they had Isaiah and all those people to tell them. And Jesus said, I've never seen anything like this guy. He said, not even not even a Christian. And there's people who were healed that were not Christians, just began to receive. And later on, God saved because they were healed. Healed. healing, as far as healing is concerned, healing is a process. And sometimes, although there are some healings that are quicker than others, it's dependent on two things. Number one is the degree of power, release, how the Holy Ghost manifests himself, or degree of faith that someone has. Everybody here has different levels of faith, depending on what you have heard, depending if you had any. And there's also roadblocks to healing. There's several roadblocks to healing. There are some people know more about Job's boils than they do about healing. or Paul's ailments. And so we have different things that we need. We need to have the New Testament to teach us different things. And we said Jesus ministered healing with the anointing, and then he ministered by faith. We see a lot of times Jesus ministered by teaching the people. He mentions in Luke 4, in 18, he says, I've been anointed to heal. If you're anointed to heal, you need to tell people. If you believe it, if Jesus appeared to you. In fact, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in 1952. He said, kneel down before me. And he says, stretch out your hands. He stretched out both of his hands like this, kneel down before me. And Jesus took his right hand of his finger and touched both of his palms of his hands. He said, tell the people that you saw me. Tell the people I've anointed you. And those that believe that you saw me, that you've testified that you saw me and that I've transferred anointing to your hands, if they believe that, they'd be healed. And many people were healed. But here's another interesting story about that. He's ministering at a meeting, and there was a lady that came by with a child that was looked like, you know, brought a child for healing, and that child was crippled and couldn't walk, hadn't walked, was born that way, and brought that child in to be healed, and he laid hands on that child, and nothing happened. There was nothing transferred. He said when he ministered with that tangible anointing, that anointing would transfer from his hands into the sick person, but that didn't happen. So he went home went to his room after the service that night and began to cry because he felt so bad about that child, couldn't help that child, and the mother was very distraught. And he said, the Lord said to him, the reason why that didn't work is because I never gave you a miracle of healing anointing. I gave you a healing anointing. That anointing that you have for that situation doesn't work for that situation. How many people know, thank God, there are different kinds of anointing? But he said, nevertheless, all things are possible to him who believes. And you go back there tonight, tomorrow night's meeting, and say to that person that all things are possible, that if you agree in prayer and you believe, it will happen. And by faith, say, I thank God that hands was laid upon me, and at that moment I received by faith, according to God's word, that I'm well, that my child's well. And say that over several days, as long as you can. And several days later, that mother was bathing that child, and she heard crackling and popping. And suddenly that child became well and was healed. That was a miracle. We talked about different things of miracles of healing. People have received miracles. Even people who've had glass eyes can see through a glass eye. You cover that good eye out and look at the other one, and you can see out of that eye, the one that's that didn't, where there was no eye. Different things like that have happened over the years. I wouldn't mind have that happened to me if I didn't have one, didn't have an eye. I would like to see out of that glass eye. Just take it around and just look around where you can't see. You can't see underneath take it out and have a look. You ever notice those things you can buy from cleaning tires? It's like kind of a wrench or something. You can stick it in somewhere and you make it work. I kind of thought about that, but that'd be a good miracle. So anyway, we're going to talk about that some more on Wednesday. Miracle, when God does a miracle, he supersedes the laws of nature and performs something that's just not regular. You can't get that with your regular faith, everyday faith. It's an operation of God. I'm talking about, if someone didn't, like there's people who receive new hearts, different ones that I've heard even recently, that they had, their heart was horrible and there was nothing medical science can do for them. And now they have a good heart, a new heart. In fact, you were telling me yesterday, a pastor over out east, and he had a heart attack. And he went, he had a, he struggled for a while. Thank God, God will help us. So he went for a tester not too long ago, and the doctor says, your heart is much more better than it ever was before. You never had, it didn't seem like you even had anything. You know what, people? We need to believe. Amen. Believe for more. Don't just take what you already know religiously. Like, we need to challenge our religious thinking and believe beyond and find out what's in here. I've been reading this Bible. Like, at least, we've been challenged by it. When I went to Bible school, our pastors challenged us to read the Bible every day, at least for 15 minutes. That's aside from your own, as a pastor, you have to study more. So last night I read at least another 15 minutes. I read slower than my wife. I came in slow into this world. But I'm going to finish strong. We're going to see who lives longer. Although I'm older. They say I'm actually 6 years older than her. About 6 years older. I think, Pastor Ken, your wife's 5 years older. No, five months older, excuse me. Or something like that, eh? So, my wife's younger than me. And supposedly, in the natural, men die earlier. I'm going to try to challenge that. She said, because you want to be married again. Who's going to marry a 90-year-old man? Praise God. Anyway, I just woke up some people there. We want to talk about the Holy Ghost. I think you need the Holy Ghost. This is a Pentecostal church. Amen? We wouldn't have Pentecostal on the door or anything, but we're Pentecostal. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in being filled with the Spirit, speaking with tongues. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. A doctor told me, a doctor of divinity told me that you can receive the Holy Ghost. And yet I did. I was already filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, that's for the old days. And I was filled with the Spirit. Spoke with tongues. I just went out to the Spirit, left here, didn't come back for a while, enjoyed myself. took a real good time. And had a wonderful, experience. It couldn't be denied. My experience was so wonderful that I was, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was like, wah, wah, like just full of the Holy Ghost. I couldn't stop. It's like running water. It seems to me that I couldn't stop speaking in tongues, like rivers of living water. In fact, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I experienced the wind of the Spirit, like this. That's what it seemed like to me. I mean, probably nothing. I don't think anybody else felt, but I felt like everybody had the whole thing. But it was just me in my spirit. And so when things happen in the Spirit, it's like everybody's having the same experience. So I had that experience, and such a powerful experience with the Holy Ghost. In the very next 24 hours, the next morning, the next day, 24 hours period, the devil came to me. I'm driving back to work to Kenora, Ontario, and the devil spoke to my ear and said, you never received that Holy Ghost. And yet I did. I had such a powerful experience with the Holy Ghost. And he almost convinced me that I didn't. I was like believing him. And I had such a wonderful time. But you notice that Jesus, when he received the Holy Ghost Luke 3, he had a powerful experience. And the Father spoke from heaven in a cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And then the devil comes along and says to Jesus, "If you're the Son of God." Can you imagine that? When Jesus said, "This is my Son," he comes back and says, "If you're the Son of God." So we need to understand, you know, we are three parts. We're spiritual as well as natural people, right? First of all, we're spiritual beings. If your body dies, your body stays here, and your body and your spirit goes either up or somewhere else. We don't want to mention where. I mean, if you're born again, you're going to go up. That's what the Bible says. So, thank God we have to understand that we're three parts. And when we live in this world, we have to deal with our physical bodies. Your body is not born again. If you don't watch yourself, your body will always want to do what it did before it was saved. If you slept around, if you were a whoremonger or you ran after women and men, whatever, and if you didn't do anything with it, you'll do the same thing as a Christian if you don't renew your mind. If you were a liar before you were saved, and if you don't watch yourself, you'll be a liar as a Christian. And that's why Christian development is so important. What we call spiritual growth is so important, because Paul told the Corinthians they didn't even resemble spirit-filled believers. They looked like the world, sounded like the world, and they were fighting each other, full of anger, full of, strife and division and all that. And so we have to watch it, because we can't, if we don't do something, we won't change. It's our business to change our lives. There's people on the streets of Toronto, maybe here, living in the street. They don't have to live there. They have a choice. I was in school, and I was teaching in school. One of my coordinators went there. I had a student there, and he was complaining about something in school. I was teaching a course. I taught adult education at the college for years, my wife and I. And there was a student there who was complaining about stuff. So we had to deal with him through. They wouldn't listen to me, so I brought in the coordinator of the program, and the coordinator talked to that person and said, "Listen, you're going to have to change." He said, "I can't. I can't change. I'm on welfare. I'm on this. I'm on that. I don't have any choice." He said, "You have a choice." He said, "Yeah, if I don't do this, I don't do that, I'm kicked out." Well, that's still a choice. You need to come in line and follow the rules. So I don't know what happened to that person after. I don't remember. That's the last thing I heard, and I woke up. So, anyways. Purpose of the anointing. I got 20 minutes left. Okay, so the anointing or the Holy Ghost and power are the same words, uses the same thing in the Scripture. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I'll show you something, that every person that was significantly used by God had the Holy Ghost entered their lives and did something supernaturally. And I'll show you that every church that had an impact on their life was impacted by the Spirit. You see the life of Paul, Jesus. Jesus never did anything without the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul didn't do anything without the power of the Holy Ghost. In fact, all his degrees that he had before, he said, "I count that about garbage. I want to know Jesus and him crucified." Did you find your scripture, Acts 1:8? Jesus is talking to the early church, or the first church, the first 120 there. He said, "But you shall receive power." Everybody say power. "Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now he's talking about power, Holy Ghost. Power, Holy Ghost. "You shall receive power when? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now these people were already born again. They were already saved. But there's another experience after you get saved called receiving the Holy Ghost, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's another experience. That's debatable in some circles, but for me, it's not. I see it very clearly, and I experience it myself. I've seen other people experience it. A lot of you, and some of you who haven't, you need to be filled before you leave here, or else we're not letting you out. And so we need the ushers. get ready. No, I'm just kidding. So don't be afraid. We're not going to capture anybody, okay? But this is free. You have this. You shall be, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to uttermost parts of the world. I want to read this in another version in a moment. Luke chapter 4, verse 49. Now Luke, I understand, wrote Acts, the book of Acts, and then he wrote another book, didn't call it the Acts, he called it By My Own Name. What do you call your book, Luke? So I guess they gave him the name. Luke was the one that wrote that book. He said, behold, I send the promise. Everybody say promise. So now he calls it a promise, but everybody here, this is a promise to you. And in fact, the book of Acts said it's a promise to you. Peter calls the Holy Ghost a promise. Jesus called it the promise. Promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Endued with power from on high. We need the endowment, the power of God in our lives. If you can't live this Christian life and be successful, really successful, doing what God wants you to do at least. Now, you can be a Christian and do nothing. I'm talking about people who want to do something for God. Now, if you want to be born again and get one infilling and just stay put, that's fine. Not fine necessarily, but you could just be filled. Oh, I had that experience one time. No, you need more. Not just one infilling, you need more refilling. I can look around here. A lot of you need another refilling this morning. I need one. Okay, so until he be endured. So he told them to wait, and then they had the experience. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, and I want to look at it from a couple of other versions of the Bible here. Just to show you different words that are being used. And we'll talk about the word power in a moment. So the Amplified Bible, the classical edition of the Amplified Bible says this. The Amplified Bible takes the key word and the key phrase in a sentence in the Bible, and it translates the word for us in our modern English so that we can understand more, get more from the Scripture. But you don't always have to do that, because the Holy Ghost can show you things, even if you did read the King James. King James is very often not clear to me. And a lot of people like this, oh, the King James, they don't even know what they're reading sometimes. Like, study the Bible. And so we need to be studiers of the Bible and be students of the Bible and to get more from it than just reading and glancing over. You can't just get anything just reading, speed reading the Bible. There's some people that are speed reading. Listen, slow down. Okay, Amplified Classical. But you shall receive power, and they have in parenthesis there, ability, efficiency, and might. When the Holy Ghost, or when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the very bounds of the earth. He's talking about them bringing the gospel to wherever they go. If we're going to bring the gospel to someone, if our lives are going to speak out to someone about the power of God in our lives, we need the Holy Spirit. Even just to live a clean life, to live free of sin, to live free of substances, different things I'm talking about, we need to be free. The Holy Ghost can help us. I was looking at some other versions this morning as I was coming here. The Message Bible, of all the places, the Message Bible, it's a paraphrase, but it gives something that gives you something to go to. He says here, he told them, you don't get to know the time or the timing of the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be able to be my witnesses. So if you're going to be able to be a good witness for Jesus, you need the Holy Ghost. Who's going to debate with Jesus? Jesus needed the Holy Ghost. We needed the Holy Ghost, in life. This life is not easy. The Good News Bible, of all the term, all the things, Good News Bible. This is good news. It's a paraphrase. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you'll be filled with power. That's exactly what it says in meaning in the other, it doesn't translate just like that, but this is a paraphrase. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be filled with power. It's exactly what I experienced when the Holy Ghost came upon me. I was filled with power. Listen, I had my experience. Somebody else might not ever had that. I talked to my wife. She didn't just, she just by faith received, oh yeah, I got it. But me like, like I had an encounter that just impacted my life. I was hungry for God. I searched for God. A friend of mine brought this message of the filling the Holy Ghost. He brought me the gospel. I was already born again, but he made sure he prayed with me again, just to make sure I was saved. I got saved by watching Billy Graham on television. So I was working downtown Port Arthur in an office space downtown, working for a government agency. And a friend of mine, he's moving furniture. He stops. He says to me, You can get born again. Come to Jesus right here, right in this office space. He said, would you like to pray with me? He said, pray right here. Because, it's a public area. I thought you just pray in a church or something. He said, yeah, pray right now. I said, okay, I'll pray with you. And I bowed my head and prayed again because I already prayed the Holy Spirit. I received Jesus watching Billy Graham. And so, okay, I got saved and he became my friend. And he stuck with me. He wanted to disciple me, so he came and visited me regularly and brought me, took me to his house and fed me food and just coffee, took me around and different meetings. One day he said to me, Roma, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I will pray for you. I'll lay hands on you and you receive. I said, no, you won't. I didn't want him to lay hands on me because I said, you're not a priest, I said to him, because I grew up a Catholic. Because I thought, priests are allowed to do stuff like that. He said, yeah, okay, so pray about this. He said, I'll pray for a month, I said. So I prayed every day for a month. I don't know why, but I just thought a month would be good. So I knelt down on the side of my bed. Every night I knelt on the side of my bed, and I said to the Lord very nicely, I said, Lord, my friend says I can receive the Holy Ghost just like Jesus' mother Mary in 120 on the day of Pentecost. She received it, I want it. I'm a Catholic. She was a Catholic. My mind said, so I want this. So I prayed that way every night. I never heard anything. So he took me to this little service over here, and I didn't know this was a man coming in from Toronto at a guest speaking at the church. And later I knew it was Benny Hinn's pastor back then. So I walk into church, just make story longer, interesting. This man points at me, he said, you want to receive the Holy Ghost. I said, how does he know that? And when he said that to me, my spirit inside me jumped up. Just like when Mary came in, and the Bible says in the book of Luke, where Mary and Elizabeth, when Jesus' mom said, hello, Mary, and she said, Mary's spirit leaped up. And that's exactly what happened to me. My spirit went, whoa! When he pointed at me, he said, you want to receive the Holy Ghost tonight? I said, how does he know that? And my spirit just jumped up with joy. And that was a spiritual experience. It was wonderful just to have something like that happen to you. I'm sure some of you have had these kind of things happen to you. But he said, yeah, tonight we're going to be praying for people. You come back tonight. But I was working out of town. And the service starts at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And, they have, these Holy Ghost guys, they have meetings a long time. So I went to that meeting, and I was so filled with the Spirit and had a great time with that experience. But, not everybody has that experience. So the reason I'm saying that is because some of us, we needed such an impactful experience in our lives. Because we were on the edge to go back to Egypt, so to speak, to go back out there. I mean, just one thing could take me back out, back into the world again. So I had several experiences with the Spirit of God later on where it was so impactful to me that it changed my life. And I always tell people, I had different experiences. If I had never had those experiences, I would have never went to the ministry. Because I had so many roadblocks in my mind, in my religious thinking, why I could never ever be a minister. And I had to fight not only my own, but everybody else's to not be in the ministry, to not come in the ministry. I wasn't worthy. I was not good enough. I was, you know, whatever. I had all these things. Like everybody else, I talk to a lot of people regularly, and they have the same problems like I did. They're not worthy to receive anything from God. God would never do anything. So I fell off for about a couple of years. After that, it only took one scripture to bring me back. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He never changes his mind once he calls you. Amen? So those are just a few things. I could just show you some more. Acts 1:8. God wants us to experience the Holy Spirit. So this the premise of all of what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is that every believer needs to be empowered with the Holy Spirit in order for us to be a good witness, in order for us to be do a good job being a Christian. You know, just in fact, we need enough power in our lives just to be brave. Because some people are so afraid, and like the disciples are so afraid, they're up in 120, they're up there hiding from everybody. When they came out, they were just enormously huge. Started preaching to everybody. And that's what happened to me when I got filled. I started telling everybody about Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, everything. And some of you are just quiet. You're in your little upper room, so to speak, not telling anybody that you're even a Christian. And you work in offices where they'll persecute you if you don't hear a Christian. Right? Anybody have been persecuted, or you brought it on yourself? Some people say, I've been persecuted. Well, they brought it on themselves. But some of us, we've been persecuted and prosecuted. Some of you should be prosecuted. Okay, so everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that we would receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us as his followers. God gives us power to serve him. God empowers us with the anointing so that we can do his work like Jesus did in a supernatural way to really get the results that we need to make a difference in this world. We need the power of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 says this. Never lag in zeal. We need some zeal. Right? Come on now. We need some zeal. Okay, so an earnest endeavor. Be aglow. Remember, how many people remember the aglow? They burnt out finally, I think. Eh? They're not here anymore, right? Be aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. So we need the glow. We need to have the zeal so that we don't burn out, just walk away from God. Because life's so hard. Life is hard. Life is terrible. Oh, there's so many terrible. I'm being persecuted at my work. You know? They give you a paycheck? Well, keep going back there. Well, you know, it could happen. So what is the anointing? Okay, so we said that it's a touch of God, the touch of the grace of God in a life of a believer to accomplish his plan, whatever plan that God has for that person. Another way to explain it would be the anointing is a supernatural manifestation of God's power working through a life or a life of the church. We need this power in our church. Like I can see the Holy Ghost here on our musicians and singers this morning. It was, the power was there, and Pastor Ken walked in and he started preaching. I mean, he's supposed to do the offering. He's preaching about everything. He's going on and on. I told my wife, listen, he just stepped into the anointing. I mean, he could preach anything. We're just like, what is he doing? But that, you know, sometimes we don't realize how much we need the anointing like that, right? Acts 1:8, Jesus said, we will receive this power, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. The meaning of the word anoint in both of the original language, the Hebrew word and the Greek word, are very, very similar. You can check this out. Go in Strong's Concordance. You can go into the original Greek languages where they find this. You'll find this there. The word power, translated in the Greek word in Acts 1:8, the word power is the word dynamin. Where we get our English word dynamite. Dynamite. Yeah? We need dynamite. We need to blow this place right out. The power of God. This word comes, this meaning that when the Holy Ghost comes upon somebody, this would just really ignite the person. Jesus said in John 14:16, he said, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter. The word comforter has seven Greek meanings, you know. One of them is helper and so on, and intercessor. So the Holy Ghost is going to help you. You know, the best way to understand, you know, if you don't know what to do in life, and if you need direction in life, you don't know what to do, pray in the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't see any way out of this. And start praying in the Spirit. And the will of God will come be manifested in your life. That he may abide with you forever. This is given to all believers. We can't preach without the Holy Ghost. Here's what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. He said, for unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, that they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven. So we need to minister. We need to preach the Holy Ghost. Like, preaching is not just happened here. Preaching is out there where you need to preach a good message. Maybe 10 words, or tell somebody something about God with power. Where it's demonstrated, where, you know, people believe you're speaking the wisdom of God. I know this is very exciting. What does it mean to anoint, to be anointed? In the Old Testament, leaders and those called to serve God in some capacity would be anointed with flax olive oil. They had poured on the head of the recipient as indication that from that point on, that person would be set aside for special service for God. The Hebrew word anoint literally means to rub in with grease. Rub in with grease. That's amazing. In the New Testament, the word anoint means to smear with oil. So we need to have an oil change this morning. Right? We all need an oil change. You're squeaking too much. In the Old Testament, there's only those called by God to serve as kings, priests, and prophets would be anointed. Under the new covenant, the church, we all been set aside to do the work of God. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21-22, he says, now he which established us with you in Christ and had anointed us is God, and had sealed us and given us the earnest, or the promise, or the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. The power of God resides in each person, believer. Jesus said, in the last days, look at over here, John chapter 7, verse 37-39. In the last day, that great day, a feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly, that's your spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Like, not just one river, but different kind of rivers. So we need the Spirit of God's capacity to minister different kinds of people for different kinds of situations. So rivers of living water, but this he spake he about the Spirit which they had, that believed that should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. We all have the Spirit within us, ever flowing for service to other people. The same power comes upon us for service as Jesus was anointed at the Jordan River. Now we see over here at the Jordan River in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. Now when all the believers were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended upon in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, and was supposed he, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Later we see him coming in the full of power of the Spirit, and his ministry began. The Bible says, Jesus being full of power, this is Luke 4, verse 1, and Jesus full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Anointed me to preach the gospel. We need the anointing to preach the gospel to the poor. Had anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. So we cannot serve God without the Spirit's touch in our lives. We need it more than ever. Like people in here, that you need the Holy Ghost more than ever. More than ever, more than you ever thought before, more than any other part of your life, you need the Spirit of God right now. Don't rush out. You need this power. You absolutely need this power to live the kind of life that God wants you to live and to do those things. You cannot do this. You cannot live without this power. Now, listen. If you want to just live a Christian life and just be normal, drive your car to work every day, earn a living, go to work, get your little lunch, you know, whatever you're doing, and if that's all you want to do, live like that, then fine. But there's another life that God has for every one of us. An exciting life where we see the joy of God upon everybody else, spread the good news. Life is not just about getting a job, going to work, coming home, going to bed, wash your face. What are we going to do next? What kind of TV are we going to watch next? What kind of movie should we go to? Can we go to the hockey game? Let's go eat over here. There's more to life than that. How much people can we impact? The pastor or ministry only impacts so much, and you can touch people more than any other person ever, more than I'll ever talk to someone. Your life will intersect with people. I'll never intersect with people. So, you know, sometimes we go to the world and visit people. We visit a lot of folks and talk to them. I get to meet with people on Facebook and Messenger. They phone me regularly. People phone me regularly. On Messenger, I'm talking to people. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm sharing scriptures. Like, it takes me an hour to get out of bed sometimes. And that's not exaggerating. Just talking to people, going to bed, the last thing I did, I'm going to bed just giving messages and praying for people, praying, writing my prayer on the thing, praying for I pray in the name of Jesus. God said this, God said that, I'm writing my prayer, just ministering to people. You know, you need one of these. I'm going to try to teach her. My mother-in-law, I mean, she's listening to people, ministering to people in Finland. I mean, just talking to people over here on the phone. It's amazing. You know, when I was a kid, only the Jetsons could talk to the screen. And now everybody can talk to the screen and real people. Remember the Jetsons, anybody? Yeah? You thought it was not real, but it's real now, isn't it? Yeah? What if you can actually go inside the screen pretty soon? Just jump right inside there. Before it's not possible. Now we're just like, woo! We're in China. Every church, every impactful church had this experience. Every one of them. Let's notice a couple of things before we go home. We'll send you home. We see the Samaritans, Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Peter and John, the apostle, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Let's look at it up on the screen. Now, I have notes here, but I give my notes to the ladies back there, but I do have special notes as well. And I can't get everything on there. Sometimes they'll work, where is he getting those notes from? I got it over here. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God. What does that mean, received the word of God? They were born again. They got saved. They sent them Peter and John. Go ahead and read some more. Who, when they had come, would come down and pray for them that they might, what? Receive the Holy Ghost. You can't receive the Holy Ghost unless you're born again. We need the Spirit. Why is everybody leaving? I'm okay? Okay. That they might receive the Holy Ghost. This is absolutely super, the best thing ever happened in my life besides Jesus was Holy Ghost. I mean, there's times when I could not pray, when I was stressed out. I'm so stressed out, don't know what to do. Holy Ghost helped me. Gave me a message, gave me wisdom, gave me strength. It's empowered me. Whenever you're stressed out, if you're fearful, you kick into the Spirit. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you kick into the Spirit. Something happens. The Bible said the best way, I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us, the best way to get into the Spirit is pray in tongues. The Bible said, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. The man that prays in tongues. It says it gives that terminology in the Spirit. So that's why he said most of the most impactful things in my life as a Christian, as a minister, the most impactful things, the biggest changes I had for Rhema in my ministry as a minister, Brother Hagin said, was when I prayed in the Holy Ghost and God gave me illumination and gave me a word and showed me something when I was praying in the Holy Ghost. When I was praying in the Holy Ghost, it was the most impactful thing after a season of praying that I had been anointed or that I had such an encounter or had visions or whatever it is. When he prayed in the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit to help us pray. And that's why Jesus said, the Holy Ghost is going to come. He's going to help you pray out my will for your life. Like, there's only so much you can pray for your children. Lord, bless them, help them. Help them to do this, help them to do that. But the Holy Ghost, when you kick into tongues, the Bible says in Romans 8:26, I think it is, he that knows the mind of the Spirit knows what the Spirit is saying because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, the Holy Ghost praying through you. The Bible said, and he that knows the mind of the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost. And he that knows the mind of the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, Holy Ghost is going to pray through you. Romans 4:14 says, the Holy Spirit, when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit by my Spirit prays through me. And praise that perfect will of God. We don't know the perfect will of God. The Holy Ghost, who's our helper, Jesus said, he's our intercessor. He's going to live in us. And as we pray, the perfect will of God is going to be manifested in our lives. Amen. Just when you think it's all going wrong, the Holy Ghost can change it around. We need to pray for our city. And I walk around this region. I walk maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. Yesterday I walked almost 40 minutes. In this area, I've been praying. I pray for a mayor. I ask God, please give our mayor wisdom. Give our police officers, those in charge of our the authority and our law prevention and all that, legal people, whatever. I pray in the name of Jesus, give them wisdom. We need the Spirit. We need to pray. And it's our fault. If things go wrong, it's your fault. You read in the Old Testament, Ezekiel. God says to him, if these guys die without you telling them, it's your fault. I remember Lester Summerall, he said, I had a vision and I saw scores of people. As far as I could see, I see all kinds of people in different array of clothing representing their culture and you know, so on. He said, I'm seeing them walking far as I could see, wide as you can see, going down this road. And then I saw a chasm, a big hole, and I can see people falling in there, and I can see people try to, you know, climb back up, and they're just falling down in there. And Jesus came by and told Lester Summerall, he says that those people are falling in because it's your fault. And he said, no! No! And he was just heartbroken, just because you didn't preach to them. Somebody said, if you went to hell and someone, you know, like if someone was in hell, they say, why didn't you tell me? You know, we can't communicate the message without the Holy Ghost to someone like we should be. You get intellectualized. Let me just tell you, you don't go to hell there. You know, that we need the Spirit to give us the power to speak to somebody in a way that they can receive. Like sometimes, you know, when you can't talk to your kids or somebody else can talk to your family, somebody else can't. God knows the person that they'll listen to. And we need to pray, bind up those devils who's keeping that person in that bondage. We command that spirit to leave them alone because there are spirits working here that are in the heavenlies that are assigned to attack your family. Jesus said that we're raised above those things. That if we bind whatsoever we bind on earth, Jesus said, Matthew 18, shall be bound in heaven. That's not heaven where God lives. He's talking about the heaven above where demonic forces are planning and doing different things, trying to manifest themselves through this in this world, through people. Whatever you bind in heaven shall be, whatever you bind on earth, that are words God needs an access point, and it's us. He'll work through us. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose. The word bound means to forbid, to cause to be illegal in this world, in our life, or in the life of a person. We can bind those things, but if whatever you loose on earth, whatever you permit to be legal, you know, in a person's life. And we keep praying for them until they begin to say, yes, I want it. I want to get saved. Because maybe they might not pray the first guy that he sends. Maybe it's going to be the third one. Maybe the fourth one. You keep praying and believe him. Believe. Well, how many guys they need? I don't know. And some people are blind. I was thinking about a story where this one minister's wife, you know, she got out of the ministry because the devil came to her and said, you know what? You've been cheated in life. Brother Hagin said, he had that vision, and the Lord said, I'm going to show you how the devil gets to people. And he said, I'll show you this minister's wife that you know. And that devil came to that person, that woman, and said, you know, you're a beautiful woman. You're a good singer. You know how much you missed this life? You've been cheated in life because you went into ministry. Now you're just a pastor's wife, and you're doing all these. Now you miss all these wonderful things. You could have had all these things. The devil says, kept telling her, and she dismissed that. And that thing kept coming back to her. Then she started entertaining that thought. And all of a sudden, she entertained it. She accepted it. She was in the brain. And she said the little black spot was in her on top there, in her brain. She started entertaining that. All of a sudden, that thing, after a whole series of listening, that thing went down in her spirit. She got in bondage. And she left the ministry, left her husband. And they've been praying. They were praying for her. You know, the Bible talks about the sin unto death over in John and Hebrews, where someone sins a sin unto death. They leave the ministry or leave God and go out on their own. Like, people can lose their salvation if you just reject Jesus. Now, that's not an easy thing to listen to, but now, if you always want to be with God, you'll never lose your salvation. If you want to follow God, never. You could never be. But this person listened to the devil and went out. Now she's out there living whatever the life and the bar scene, whatever. And they sent someone to her, they knocked on the door, and she cursed. They didn't want to live, doesn't want to come to God. And they kept praying for her, and the Lord finally said to her, leave her alone. She rejected me. You cannot pray for her anymore. Leave her alone, because she rejected. You know, if you read this, there's scriptures, and I got messages. I've never preached these messages because they're very hard to hear. You'd cry leaving here. Because they said, no. There's a sin unto death. Read the book of Hebrews. Read 1 John, where people just reject God. Like, you know, the devil lies to people, though. They lie to people because they say, I must be lost, you know. And they're afraid. No, if you're lost, you wouldn't even be afraid. You would not be afraid. Because you're so deceived, you know, you don't care. But if you're the kind of person, I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost. No, you're not lost. You're just scared. If you were lost in the world, you wouldn't really care about coming back. So anyway, that person said, don't pray for her. She's just, you know, she's going to go to hell because she rejected me. You know, we need the Holy Ghost. Now, I mean, that's, you know, like, here's something I heard just recently. And I've been hearing at different times. There's going to be laws that are enacted for us against the church not to preach the gospel the way we preach them. I just saw on the news the other day that there's you know, laws to enact that they call conversion therapy, I guess they could call it. And different, I'm not sure how they interpret it, but, you know, converting people from, you know, I think it has to do with same-sex marriages, that kind of stuff. I'm not sure about it. I'm not up on it, but it's against. I think if you minister to someone who's underage, and they don't want it, then you can be charged. In some countries right now, that's happening. In fact, you could have that. You can have a problem right now. I think I heard someone just sent me a message from up north, and they were concerned about this situation. That they don't want us ministers or churches in the north that preach against this anymore. Well, I'm not preaching against it. I'm just preaching the gospel. I mean, we're living in the last days, folks. It's not going to get easier. This pandemic is part of the deal. We need to be ready. We need the Holy Ghost. This is not playing church. This is real stuff. And, you know, even I'm in bed. I get up 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm laying there thinking, you know, how could someone live without God? With all the stress going on about the pandemic and jobs and people losing, you know, homes and losing their businesses and different things going on. Like, we're in the good time right now. A lot of us right now, we're in a place right now with the power of God, we can bring someone to Jesus. What a time. I was telling the Lord, we were talking yesterday with me and the Lord. I said, we're living in a time where we can preach the gospel to someone and come across someone and get them born again, come to the kingdom of God. What a time. What a time of life we are living in. Amen. Amen? Praise God. Say, I'll never lose my salvation. Say, I love God. I reject all the devil's thoughts. Say, I'm free. I'm free of evil powers. I'm full of the power of God. Say, I'm full of power because of the Holy Ghost, because of the Spirit of God who lives inside of me. I thank God right now that my salvation is sure. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm taking as many people as possible. I'm praying my relatives in, my family in. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.